Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President at John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. As we get started, just a reminder, visit johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. And you can learn more about the five levels of leadership, which is the foundation, the methodology of which everything that Perry and I talk about and teach and organizations around the world have kind of adopted as their leadership map. You can learn more about that. Or if you want a learner's guide for today's session, you can download that. And Perry also writes a weekly blog. So lots of content for you to be able to access and to grow. And we're grateful that you would be on this journey with us. Well, today's topic is titled Understanding a Leader's Role in Employee Well-Being. Mm. The first thing I thought about when I saw this title was, I remember last year, and we all do, 2020, where it was, hey, we got to make sure during this pandemic that people feel emotionally and physically safe. And what does that look like? And does your culture that you are leading lend to that? And coming out of the challenges of 2020, I love the fact that we're going to, from a leadership standpoint, talk about how can we value people to be able to help them in this area and establish a culture and an environment that positively affects them. Now, ultimately, as leaders, right, we don't have complete control of that, but I think we can play a big role in that, on what's going on a day-to-day basis inside your culture of your organization.
Right. Well, employee well-being is not something we have talked a lot about as a part of a leader's role. But I think we should. And I think a leader, I know I've seen it in my own leadership, that I can heavily influence how someone feels about work and even maybe about life. We've talked previously about helping someone in our inclusive leadership talks. We talked about helping people feel safe, welcome, and like they belong. Yeah. And I think that's a starting point for a lot of employee well-being, is that it's a good place to be. I'm safe and welcome here, and it's I'm valued.
Yeah, and I think even going a step further of even having them in the right seat of the organization and their strength zone. I was reading an article the other day that said, hey, do you want to have an engaged team member? And if so, if you have them, and first you got to know them, right? We'll talk about that all the time. But then you have them in the right place and in their strength areas, they're 75% engaged in the organization. 75% chance of being engaged, right, if they are in the strength zone. But if you don't have them in there, it said it was 9% of those people are engaged. Yeah. It just really talks to think about yourself and your role and what your strengths are and how you feel engaged or not engaged, depending on what that is. And so I think when you do that, you drive higher morale for the individual. They bring different energy level to the organizations. And the biggest thing, and I love this comment right here, is organization talk to us about retention. They talk to us about turnover. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think if you figure this out, just a part of the puzzle, it's just a piece of the puzzle, that will help you as leaders continue to retain talent and to continue to lower the turnover percentage that may be costing you as a leader in your organization a lot of dollars that we sometimes are unaware of. And so I think this is an important subject, and I think we can talk about it from a leadership perspective, and it'll definitely be a benefit to your business.
Fantastic. And, when we look at what can negatively affect someone's feeling of well-being, a big component I've seen is that there's high job demands, but I have low job control. Mm-hmm. And so I have that feeling of tension that rises when I don't feel like I'm in control of what's going on. If you feel that a lot is expected from you and you have little control, you may feel frustrated, experience high anxiety, other components there. I've looked at it. I'm just thinking about three areas that I'd like to share that I think leaders can help their teams maintain this feeling of well-being, and then share some ideas that I've heard. I think you have too, from people that we coach in specific areas and what they've done, kind of just some practical things that I've seen. The three areas come from research around motivation. I think I picked this up from Dan Pink and the book Drive, but I was thinking about how much it applies here to how people feel in their job. And the first one I think that applies here, the first area, was about purpose. If what I'm doing at work feels bigger, like a bigger purpose in my life, that I'm actually making a difference, it matters, I'm more likely to experience the challenges and the ups and downs. This is part of the journey. It's not doesn't affect me. It's part of, we're all in this together. And I I was thinking, you know, the question I had for you is how can a leader help the people on the team with the purpose? Is that really your job to make them feel that there's a purpose in this?
I love the word you just used, feel. Yeah. When we talk about leadership development, a lot of people refer to it as a soft skill. It's an emotional intelligence skill. It's not easy to do. But what I thought about was oftentimes I'll ask this question of leaders, and I know you will as well as we do pre-calls before we go and speak to teams or organization. We'll say, hey, what's it feel like to work inside of that organization, right? What does it feel like to work for that leader? And you just ask that question, and then you sit back and listen and take notes. And I think that gives you a really good insight on the culture of that organization and whether or not the organization is doing a good enough job of tying the purpose, the vision that they have to what that individual role is doing, no matter the level of the organization. And that's on us as leaders to make sure that we are tying the purpose to the actual role that that individual and why that individual is doing what they're doing in order for them to feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves. I think that's the first thing. We often talk a lot about values. And again, this is, I think it's simple, but it is a powerful exercise if you not only understand their individual values, but you begin to help them discover their values, not the organizational values, what their personal values are. A lot of people, we know incredible leaders that we've had the opportunity to sit down around a table with, and we go through an exercise and do the values cards, and they've never done it before.
Right.
They can come up with the buzzwords of what they think their values are, but when you really make them go through and force rank it, it's an incredible way for them to begin to feel like they're a part of the purpose and the bigger cause. So I think, you know, I think if you tie that together, I think if you help them understand their values, and then I go back to what I just mentioned, if you get them in their strength zone and they will be engaged, 75% of those will be engaged if they're in the strength zone, I think all of that helps from within to help that individual.
Yeah, great. Second area that I picked up from Dan Pink and about improving well-being was helping people with a feeling of autonomy. This speaks to that I mentioned earlier about it's high demands, but have no control. When someone has a feeling of autonomy, they feel like they can control how they do their work. So they know what you expect of them, but then they have the autonomy to go and figure out how to do it. Is that something a leader can help with? Can you help somebody with that feeling of autonomy?
Yeah, I love this. You made a comment here, which is, hey, what's the opposite of autonomy, which is becoming a micromanager? Now, if you're listening, I want you to think back to the last leader that you had that was micromanaging everything you did. And that doesn't feel very good, does it, right? Because I had a couple, and I'm like, oh, like it just makes the hair stand up on your arms and thinking about that. And so when you take that into consideration and you think about the opposite of this, and I know as leaders, sometimes we want to have control of everything. We want to have controls of certain things. But I would encourage you, in order, again, we're talking about getting the most out of for them, some of your team members, driving engagement, making sure that they feel fulfilled in their roles. I would encourage you to make sure that you become a coaching leader. This is something that I've had to work on in my leadership, which is not staying in the details, but then backing up and being a coaching leader through that process. Whether you use the 10-80-10 principle that Perry and I have talked about on this before, maybe you use a different set of questions, whatever that might be, to allow you to become a better coaching leader and back away from micromanaging, I would encourage you to do that. I'd also encourage you to just step in once in a while and say, man, what is going on? What's in the way that I can step in and help you kind of remove that roadblock? I love this, right? I know I talk to my team sometimes like, hey, what's in the way? What from where I'm sitting in my seat can I help you remove out of the way in order to do what you're doing? And then just make sure that I think you look at everybody as a team member that you can develop. Just I think if remember, people join your company for one reason. They don't stay for that same reason. And everybody's looking for improvement. Some maybe are more excited about it than others. We call that the self-selection process through certain things. But make sure that you, with good intentions, are making sure that your team feels, there's that word again, you used it, I've used it a couple times, that you are for them, that you want them to be better, that you want them to lead projects, you want them to be developed.
And you used personal development leads this the third idea of help with well-being is just mastery. That if someone feels they're growing, improving, developing mastery in their role, they feel good about themselves. They'll feel good about the future. They'll know they're making progress. And I'm thinking put those three things together: purpose, and autonomy, and mastery. It really does add to the well-being. But was specifically for you, the specific for a leader to promote mastery in their people. You mentioned about self-development, and some people do and don't. But are the things you do to encourage that somebody to develop mastery in their role? You got them in the right seat. You want them on the team. They're in the bus. They're on the right seat. But how do they get better and better at what they do? Next level stuff.
So I don't know about you, but when I was younger and I can remember learning how to swim, which was my dad just threw me in the deep end and said, start swimming, right? I'm not saying we're going to do that with certain projects, but I think where we're going with this is the only way for them to really kind of begin to master certain things and to grow and to be developed. You got to equip them with the right tools and the right resources. In my example, make sure that, you know, Chris has swimmies on his arms, right? Which I think even when I was that young of age, I probably still weighed over 100 pounds. And so that was a little bit of a struggle. I had to have double. But make sure that you equip them to be able to do the smaller projects first. I'm not saying throw them in the deep end. I'm saying put them in the shallow end and let them kind of run with it to where it challenges them. It excites them. It begins to make them feel like they're part of what we're doing and they got to contribute. I was texting with somebody yesterday and we're working on a project and I said, here's a just a really simple quote for you. And it was about the fact of, hey, if you're not scared of what's going on right now, you're probably not growing. And I was like, oh man, that's interesting, right? So like even as a leader, and I've had the privilege of working in this organization for a long time, you got to have that feeling in order to begin to kind of take a next step in your productive deliverable as an organization. The other thing that I want to mention that you made a note here, I think this is so powerful, is then after they get experience doing that and they begin to master the small steps, have them share that with the team. Have them share that with each other. Have them share that with a peer, right? If your budget allows, say, man, go head out to lunch. Go over here to Firehouse Subs. You know, take so-and-so and share with what's going on and what you're learning, and then begin to do that. I think all of those things are healthy ways for you to connect with your people on the team.
That speaks to the inclusion piece that I belong here. I'm valued here. This is safe, and I feel good. It just feels good to be a part of this team. Let's shift gears as we start to think about wrapping up. And I wanted to give a couple practical things.
Yeah.
And maybe you could go first, some things you may have seen or any practical areas that might apply.
Well, for me, I think one of the things you got to do is we talk about work-life balance. That's so hard. I'm going to go back to, I was with an organization the other day, and one of the top five values of an individual I was talking to was balance. I said, can you help me with that? Right. So, but I think what we've got to do is I want to encourage you guys, as you think about this leadership culture, you think about your people to, you know, Perry's title, when we talk about what is the role that we play in the employee's well-being. I want to make sure that you continue to encourage, both formally and informally. What does that look like in regards to the team member and how that makes them feel, and how are you able to do that with your budget? I'd love for you to express appreciation for the people on your team. Mm-hmm. You know, who is it? I know Truett Cathy and other people that said, man, how do you know if somebody needs to be encouraged?
Yeah.
If they're breathing,
yeah.
You know, and that's for everybody. Even if they, matter of fact, I want to challenge you. If somebody says, I don't need encouragement, they probably need more than, right? I'm thinking about an individual that comes to mind right now. You know, maybe even offer access to programs to help them uncover what their true purpose is. Maybe you're just asking some questions of saying, man, what is it you feel called to? That's our language. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like is your purpose? There are tons of resources out there. I can remember back when I kind of first started my journey, John Maxwell, I didn't know the answer to that question. And there were some great resources they gave us access to go through and do assessments and mm-hmm. books you can read, different things. Be a resource for your people, both personally and professionally. And one of the things I'll just share quickly and then kind of throw it back to you is, John, this Change Your World book mm-hmm. that he's so passionate about.
Just thinking that.
And this transformation movement that he's doing that's much bigger than anything I could ever think about. And so we did a little transformathon John got big into walking last year, and he wanted to encourage all of our team to jump on and be a part of this Transformathon, which was not a marathon in one day. It was over a month, but we ended it with a 5K. And just to encourage us to get out there and to get tied to this and get going, you know, part of what we were given for Christmas was a pair of tennis shoes. Yeah. And on there, something he just had kind of CYW for Change Your World. Very little cool touch. Right. You might not be able to do something like that. You might be able to do something even bigger than that. We're just saying we want to challenge you to begin to think about ways that you can do things like that for your team members in order to enhance the leadership culture and, again, the well-being of the team members.
I like my new Nikes. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, things outside like that. I once worked for an organization that encouraged everyone to participate in a physical fitness program, and you could receive a free Fitbit if you signed up and you committed to investing in your own physical fitness. They would help you track it, and I thought that was cool. Another practical thing, one of my coaching clients invested in a health and wellness program for every employee. He didn't have to do that. He just saw that there was there's a lot of work, a lot of demand going on, but can I help you with some of the weight training or the weight control or dieting or exercise? So he provided that. Another one was really big on flexible work hours that people, that happened a lot in 2020, that we figured out we can work from other places, but do the people on your team, would it add to their well-being to know that they could come and go at different hours if it helped them? Maybe providing access and some funding to go back to school, to develop another passion or something, but you provide assistance for them to go to school. And a final thought. Leaders should always, I was added this late, but I was thinking anytime your people on your team go through a major life event, and that could be they, you know, having a child or losing a parent or kids graduating from high school or college and leaving on their empty nesting or things that really change their lives, that's really a great reason for you to know what's going on in their life. Where are they? That a major life event can really affect someone's outlook and cause feelings, again, of losing control. And that, you know, you may be able, through some assistance or resources or just an empathetic ear, to help understand what that's going on in their life. So,
well, as we close up, this is such a great topic for us as leaders. You got to be aware. Remember, as leaders, it's our job to lead people. Both personally and professionally. That's what we believe. And we spend more time with people that we work with than we do our own personal family members. And so we want them to be the best them that they can be. I'm not saying the best individual for that organization, the best them for them. You and I were on a call and last week with a chief operating officer, a very large organization. And his thing was, you know what, one of the things we did was we made sure that our HR department is doing a really, really good job of letting everybody in the organization know what's available to them.
That's right.
And I thought, we are a much smaller organization, and I don't know if I know that for our organization. Man, thank you. We need to be doing that. So I wanted you to hear that example as we close, because we gave you certain examples. Some are very small. Some is communication. Some of it's spending dollars. But it's important for you as a leader to be thinking about that. And that is part of your role. And that ultimately is part of the culture and how it feels to work inside your organization or on your team.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Chris. As a reminder, there's a learner guide for this episode. If you'd like to download that or leave a comment or a question or even learn more about our offerings, you can do that at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. And we always love hearing from you there. And we always love that you would spend this time with us. Very grateful for that. That's all today from the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.